Final hour, Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3, The Game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Nick Keyser here with you on this Tuesday morning, brought to you by Chuck McDowell and Medical House Calls, Middle Tennessee's best medical care in the comfort and safety of your own home. For more information, go to medicalhousecalls.com. Medical House Calls, where the nearest clinic is your home. The Nashville Predators back in action tonight in Bridgestone Arena, going for win number 6 in a row as they take on the Ottawa Senators. Ottawa fell 6-3 last night against the Washington Capitals. So a team coming off the second half, or coming to the second half of a back-to-back tonight for the Predators. We'll see if they can handle business at home. Joe, you recently spent time with Predators head coach Andrew Brunette, and that piece that you put together has just come out at theathletic.com. You've tweeted it out at Joe Rexrode on Twitter. What did you learn? What were some of your takeaways from spending some time with Andrew Brunette here recently?
Well, a lot. And, you know, it's like you, I mean, this was like a 2,000 word story, but there's so much that didn't get in. I mean, I kind of went light on the schematics. I learned a ton, you know, about as one would, but you know, I learned a ton about hockey and what they're trying to do. But I think the most interesting part of it is, you know, just the psychological aspect of being a coach and dealing with players. And it's interesting. One thing he says, I mean, he's still like learning these guys, which is kind of weird. You think about like all these months, you know, that would be the case, but it's not like, I mean, you're spending a lot of time together, but you know, there's still the difference between spending a lot of time together, practice games and stuff like that, and actually getting to know people really well. So he's in that process. He's going with his system, even though this team is really not built for it. And I mean, that's something we've talked about, but as he said, and I don't think I really had this quote in the story, but he said, like, you know, you could have made a case for him to kind of come in here this year and think about playing, you know, just more of a defensive style, more like Barry Trotz had to play his first few years with the Preds, different situation, franchise or an expansion team back when expansion teams were horrific in the right. NHL. But the same idea, like this team is not, you know, built to do what the Panthers were doing with him and Joel Quenneville. And also I learned a lot about one in particular, the thing they call the swing-in, you know, technique, which is apparently, you know, a Quenneville thing that really caught fire with Chicago. And then, you know, everybody tries to copy it, but just interesting to think of the little details and stuff like that, that go into the game. And you watch film with them and it's just like, man, it's easy to pick out like mistakes or whatever, or when people do things well, it's, you know, as you know, Robbie, it's like it's such an imperfect game, you know, precision is so hard to get. And it's just this constant, I mean, just a little bit off here, not quite up enough here, you know, it can be a problem, but the bottom line is attack, 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 take away space, you know, blow them up at the blue line, send it the other way, get the puck up as fast as possible. I talked to Roman Josi too. You know, he's like, it's been a big adjustment for him. I mean, it's just get the puck up. And I think some that was the case with Hines, but even more here, it's just get the puck to the forwards, go, 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 and then join the play. So I'm just rambling, but I learned a lot. And also, if anybody got screwed over by the YouTube thing, it's Brunette, because he's actually a fan. And good for you, Andrew Brunette, because YouTube's freaking awesome.
Well, I got the high recommendation from Paul Stastny, according to you, in this story. So there's
trolling
that,
him.
There's just that trolling too, him, which is a great line. That again, you can check out at The Athletic. It's really interesting to kind of peel back the layer a little bit here of what his approach is as head coach this year. And, you know, you brought up the system part of it, like the schematic part of it is really interesting, and how a lot of it is built on speed. And, you know, we've talked about that. Are the Predators equipped at this point to fully run the Andrew Brunette system the way that he wants to run it? Probably not. I think that's going to be a building process from a roster standpoint over the next couple of years. And, you know, Barry Trotz is going to be charged with finding the right players and bringing in the right fits, and of course, drafting and developing the right players to add to that system. I think another part of this that's really interesting is kind of the approach that we've talked about. And the fans, I think, are kind of caught in this battle too, of what's the right move with some of these younger guys in terms of bringing them along, making sure that they're developing, getting what you want to get from them out of, you know, the experience that they're getting this year, while also the mindset of a player and the mindset of a coach is to try to win as many games as humanly possible. Like, that's your job when you're the head coach of a hockey team, is to find ways for your team to win. And sometimes that balance of doing what's right by the young guys and doing what's right about trying to win games, they don't always add up and they don't always come together. And he's talked about that some in some post-game press conferences this year, but it was really interesting in this piece to get his perspective on that too.
Yeah, I mean, I give him credit for admitting that, you know, he doesn't know everything. He doesn't know how things are going to work out. He questions himself. To me, that's a good sign of, you know, someone who is confident and competent, if they're willing to, if they have a public job, publicly admit that they, like, don't always know everything. So, you know, it's like you said, I mean, he's talked about this at pressure before, but I mean, there's a quote in here about waking up in the middle of the night, you know, like, crap, what am I doing? You know, we shouldn't have sent him down. He shouldn't have been scratched, right, or whatever. I mean, but like you said, it's like half the room is like, we're trying to win right now. You know, when it comes to young guys too, as much focus as we have on the forwards, one young guy who has absolutely, I was able to, you know, like with this, put like kind of like film to like what we've all been seeing, which is Jeremy Lauzon out there destroying people, right? Yeah. Leading the league in hits. He's a missile.
Did we lose Rexrod? Is he frozen up there in Indianapolis?
It's him, but it's also this system. It's perfectly. And that's the thing. It's like the stuff they're trying to do. He has been able to really grasp onto that and excel in it. So it's systematic too.
Well, and look, he's played great this year, and you know, he still makes some mistakes out there, but I think, you know, if you told me heading into the season that Jeremy Lauzon would absolutely be the guy that's, you're not even considering scratching, and like Tyson Berry is and Dante Fabro is and some of these other guys is, I would have said you're crazy. But that's to his credit, the way that it's played out, and the system, I think, has lended itself to that. And now the question is, like, as you go down the stretch here and you're trying to get in the playoffs, you've won five in a row, you got a five-game homestand coming up before the deadline, like, I think everybody would agree that there's still some work to be done to the roster, and if you're going to get back to a place where you're competing for a Stanley Cup, there's going to be continued, you know, kind of churning of the roster that's going to be required here. I think part of the equation that we probably not talked enough about this year is not just the young guys and developing the talent and trying to position yourself from a financial and salary cap standpoint to leave yourself flexibility to go attack should a trade make itself available that makes a lot of sense for your group. But also, like, who are guys that are here that you look at the Andrew Brunette system and you say, you know what, they fit great in this system? And conversely, how many guys along the way this season has Barry Trotz and Andrew Brunette said, you know what, with what we're trying to do, with the way we're trying to run our team, I just don't know that this guy is going to be a long-term fit? Because I have to think, you know, they know the answers to those questions, and that's going to determine the way they go with this roster as they move forward here.
Yeah, no, for sure. Like, I think the guy we've talked about who's interesting is like a Novak.
Correct.
Know? I just think in general, and, you know, I think, you know, like, Brunette's not going to come out and say, like, this isn't a very talented team. we can all kind of see that, right? And I think that just not just like, you know, skill, scoring ability, stuff like that, but just straight up skating, speed. You know, you've made this point a lot, Robbie. Like, sometimes that gets overrated. It's like, you know, like in hockey, it's if you're executing things like that, you are faster. You are a faster team, right? But the way they play, I mean, I think Lauzon had a quote in this, which is like the identity is this is a skating team now.
Yeah.
You know, it's an interesting way to think about it. And so from that perspective, they've got to get better skaters, you know, and they obviously have some tremendous players, but it's just going to be interesting to see like how much turnover and changeover is there from year one to year two with that roster.
615-737-1025, our phone number. Andrew Brunette, a piece that Joe Rexrode put together out at theathletic.com that you could check out at Joe Rexroad on Twitter. He just put it out there. We'll continue the conversation on the Predators coming up next, going for win number 6 in a row tonight at Bridgestone Arena. You're listening to Robbie and Rexroad, 102.5, 106.3, the game. Tune in to 94.9 The Fan today as Vanderbilt baseball takes on Indiana State at Hawkins Field with pregame at 4:15, first pitch at 4:30. Coverage also available on the 94.9 The Fan app and at 94.9thefan.com. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rexroad, Nick Keys are here with you on this Tuesday morning. We're taking your thoughts on the Preds. 615-737-1025 is our phone number. Preds back in action tonight, taking on the Ottawa Senators, going for win number 6 in a row. Joe, a big game because of the time of year. This is a team in Ottawa that's not very good, and they just got beat 6-3 last night. So a game that you need to win at home tonight for that reason. But also, like, I do think, Joe, this is a really important game from the standpoint of you've just gone on the road. You've won 5 in a row. You're, I think, 18-10-2 on the road all season long. So you've been a very good road team. At home, you're 14-15. And if you go out and lay an egg tonight and lose this game, particularly in the fashion that they've lost some of these home games where they just haven't been ready to play from the jump, if that happens tonight, the positive momentum with the fan base that you've generated in your 5-game winning streak on the road is all of a sudden going to turn around to what in the world is wrong with this team at home that they can't get ready to play. And I think it's a big game tonight from that standpoint of, number one, you better be ready to play, and number two, this is a game you need to win at home against the Ottawa Senators.
Yeah, no, and I mean, this is the classic setup for them to lose. I mean, it's absolutely classic. So they have to know that. Yeah, like if the way this team has played, and I know sometimes like a trip can galvanize a team and all the stuff that's happened, you know, may have served to do that. I think the awfulness of the loss to Dallas, U2, I mean, I think that just the embarrassment of that loss was a kick in the pants. But like if they play like that at home tonight and play poorly, you know, then to me that starts to become a reflection in particular on the young guys. And maybe that's not fair, but we know like the veterans on this team have performed at a high level here or elsewhere for a long time. And so to me, the wild card, what got better on the road trip? You know, the secondary scoring, some of those guys really, really had some good moments, some key sequences and produced. And, you know, it's like, to me, if it's continues to be bad at home, then it's like, are the young guys, you know, I don't know, are they staying out? I mean, I'm just speculating, are they staying out till 4 a.m. on Broadway? Like, you know, I mean, that's where my mind goes. Again, is that necessarily fair? I'm not talking about anybody in particular, but I have to think it's the young players, for whatever reason it is, who are not bringing the same intensity, focus, whatever, at home than on the road. I mean, that's the only thing I can come up with.
Well, tonight's a little bit of a pride game too, right? I mean, the last time you're at home ice, you just got embarrassed 9-2, and you've responded as well as you can respond on the road, and they deserve full credit for that, and they've gotten themselves back in a playoff spot, and all those things are really good. But I still think there's got to be a little bit of hunger to get back in front of your fans on home ice and start to turn this thing around. Like 14-15 at home, if you'd have told me heading into the season at this point that they were 14-15 at home, I'd have thought they'd have been 12 or 14 points out of a playoff spot by this time. So right. The fact that they've been able to not only hang in there but be in a playoff spot right now because of how well they played on the road, and that was even prior to this past road trip. I mean, before this past road trip, they were 13-10-2 on the road, which is, I mean, it's not a great road record, was pretty good. Like, you're above 500 on the road. Like, it's a good place to be at for an NHL team. And you hope that your home record is really what vaults you into the playoffs after that. So the fact that they've been as poor as they've been at home and are still in this position, I think, is really encouraging. Can you keep the secondary scoring going tonight? Can the goaltenders continue to play well? I assume it's going to be Saros tonight against Ottawa. Like, they had a lot of things going for them on the road trip. And I do think it's really important psychologically tonight for them to come back home and to be able to translate that to the road. And look, sometimes this game's really hard, regardless of what your road trip has been like, or what your record at home has been like. When you're on the road for as long as they have been for 5 games, that first game back home is always tricky. And coaches talk about it all the time. It's basically like an extension of the road trip because you're playing, you know, every other night. You're finally back at home before you settle into a groove here. So this can be a tough game anyway, but this is a game where you got to find a way to kind of dig your way through that if you're this Predators team.
Yeah, I think this is a big moment. You know, it really is. And if they take care of business, and yeah, you know, you got to try to keep that momentum. You know, could they put together a real streak here, 5-game homestand? But this one is one you got to get. You know, and right now you're in that battle. You're right there for a playoff spot. And yeah, I did not think. I mean, think about the Dallas game. I mean, that to me was kind of like, yeah, okay, yeah, they're not going to make the playoffs. And I can't say that anymore. And by the way, for the record, if I was a 23-year-old NHL player living in Nashville, I would stay out at Broadway till 4 a.m. every day. I just want that on the record. Okay.
Yeah, I mean,
maybe three.
Yeah, three games. Yeah.
Then if there's a morning skate, three. Okay.
But if there's not, 4. Yes. 4:30 somewhere in that neighborhood. No, I mean, maybe. I'm really interested to see how they respond tonight. And look, the secondary scoring part of it, how sustainable is it? I don't know. I mean, there's a pretty large sample size of evidence this season where it hasn't been sustainable. Now, could you have figured something out? Are guys ramping it up as the playoff race gets closer? Like, I still, if they're going to make the playoffs, it's going to have to be, number one, because the goaltending continues to get better, and number two, guys other than Forsberg and O'Reilly and Nyquist and Yossi, I mean, they're going to have to carry the load with them offensively. So, like, you still know, like, Forsberg's on his way to scoring, I don't know, 36, 37, 38 goals this year, somewhere in that neighborhood, maybe 40. But you need other guys to come along with him. And on the, you know, I mean, you could point to a different guy in every game on the road trip. Cody Glass in Vegas, Kiefer Sherwood in San Jose. I mean, you had all kinds, and Novak has played great on the road trip. So all that's really good. Can you keep that going now that you've gotten back home? And look, they sent Igor Afanasyev back down in Milwaukee yesterday. It feels like they've settled into a little bit of a groove here lineup-wise, and they're not having to mix it up and shake it up every game, which is good because they've had to shake it up a lot this year. But can you keep that going now at home? That's going to be a really interesting part of this tonight. And, you know, could you keep it going and then get some other parts of your game to ramp up? Like the power play right now is not very good. They need the power play to get better. And we'll see if they can do that tonight starting at home against an Ottawa team that, again, not very good. Not a very good year for Ottawa.
Yeah, I mean, that's the thing, too. I mean, if you told me on the road trip they're going to go 2-for-18 on the power play, I'm not picking 5-0.
No.
You know? So there's things that can get better that are under their control. Nate asked if they're too – if, you know, the team or young guys too comfortable at home. Yeah, maybe that's been a thing. But it's like at this point, I think everyone on this team should understand what works, what doesn't, and how small the margin for error is.
Correct.
You know? So, like, it's like, I mean, at this point, we're heading into March here. You're actually playing hockey that matters. That was not at all a sure thing. By the way, a quote that did not make the story was after the first period of the first game, Burnett said, "Holy bleep, we're not going to win a game this year." Like, what have I done or something like that? Yeah. I mean,
I remember that period.
Yeah. Oh, my God. Yeah. That's what everybody would say. Like, what in the world is going on here? But, you know, this team's overachieving. So if you work this hard, you put in all the work to get to here, there's no more excuse for like being comfortable or like you're basically, you know, in like a pseudo postseason right now. So you got to play like it.
It comes down to the details. Like, it's paying attention to the small details of the game that go into winning. And that's what they've failed to do too often at home this year. And they did it really well on the road. They weren't perfect on the road. They made mistakes, but knowing when to dump the puck in, knowing when to make the proper line change, knowing when to, you know, extend your shift and, you know, have sustained offensive zone time when you've got a team on their heels, knowing when to pounce. Like, there's a lot of things that go into winning and losing in the NHL that are really small with the margins. And I think knowing your limitations as a team is a strength. I think the Predators, look, you know, if you try to just run it and gun it with everybody, it's not going to go very well for you for the most part. So I think being on top of those details is what's been the difference on the road. And I think when you're on top of the details, you create more margin of error. Like, you defend better. You don't leave your goalie hanging out to dry when you do things like that. So sometimes it's not even about, you know, not being ready to play. It's about being willing to do the small things that over the course of a 60 or 65-minute hockey game add up to winning. And that's what it takes this time of year. You can get away with some of that stuff in October and November, but this time of year, when you're in a playoff race and everybody's ramping it up, I mean, the margins are so small, especially when you're a team that is short on talent the way that the Predators are.
Right, and obviously you hope, because there's one thing about Saros, he has those slow starts. He also usually at this time of year plays ridiculously good hockey. So obviously the Preds hope that's the case until he's traded. Well. So, you know, that's the thing. As long as you have him, see if you can get the best out of him.
615-737-1025, our phone number. Coming up next, it's time for Preds Pick to Click. Be the first caller at 615-737-1025. If you guess a goal scorer for the Predators tonight, you win a pair of tickets to a future Nashville Predators home game. We will do that next. Robbie and Rex Road, 1025-1063, the game.
It's time for Preds Picks to Click.
And a shot of the score.
Do you think you know who will score a goal in tonight's Predators game?
Little give and go.
Shoot your shot for a chance to win Preds tickets. Call 615-737-1025 now. Pick to Click is brought to you by TJ Anderson Homes of Benchmark Realty. Visit TJAndersonHomes.com to see why they are preferred so often. It's Pick to Click, now on Robbie and Rex Road.
It's time for Preds Pick to Click here on Robbie and Rex Road, brought to you by TJ Anderson Homes of Benchmark Realty. List your home with TJ to get your home seen, heard, and sold. Preds back in action tonight, taking on the Ottawa Senators. A standings update in the competition. Rex Road and the listeners still tied atop the standings at 12 apiece. They've been there for a minute. So Nick Kieser on the prowl with 9 correct answers. I remain at 4. That's your standings update in the competition. With that in mind, let's go to our 1025 The Game phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, and welcome in Michael. Michael, good morning. Your pick to click tonight for the Nashville Predators.
I'm going to go the easy route and hope that Forsberg puts one in tonight.
Awesome. Thanks, Michael. Appreciate it. Philip Forsberg, the selection from Michael. Joe Rexroad, you're up first today in the competition. Forsberg is off the board.
Yeah, that's not cool, man. That's not cool. When I have the first pick, I expect the listener to go, you know, Luke Shen. let's see. We pick on Luke Shen way too much.
I love Luke
Shen. Let's see here. I will go with Ryan O'Reilly.
Ryan O'Reilly, the selection. Nick Kieser, O'Reilly and Forsberg off the board. Your pick to click.
I'm going to go Colton Sissons, folks. I think he set his career high in the beginning of the Predators' home stand. He's been looking good. I think he's due to score here in Nashville. So I'll go Colton Sissons.
Going with Colton Sissons. I'll go Gus Nyquist. I think Nyquist scores. Maybe it's even an empty netter. He's been pretty good at those lately, but I'll go Nyquist. Forsberg, O'Reilly, Sissons, Nyquist, the selections in Preds Pick to Click. Brought to you by TJ Anderson Homes of Benchmark Realty. List your home with TJ to get your home seen, heard, and sold. Big one for the Preds tonight. Joe, your final thoughts on the Predators tonight as they prepare for a 5-game homestand. And more information to be gathered starting tonight from Barry Trotz as he makes his decisions before the NHL trading deadline.
Yeah, I feel like credit to them for making it this way. They've made this a big moment, you know, but it is. So, again, when you do what they've done to get in this position, they are overachieving overall this year. They're in position to get in the postseason. And that's the best road trip in franchise history.
Yep.
That they just went on. So all that's great. Now, how do you figure out a way to do everything that you can do to not have that letdown tonight at home? You know, I mean, that's, I think it's a big moment. I really do. And, you know, as far as it relates to Trotz and the deadline, you know, I still think, I mean, I'm kind of with like what Caroline said earlier, you know. I mean, I do think that these two things are kind of at this point separate, just based on what people are offering and things like that. There's a bigger picture that they have to service before they worry about the playoffs or this season. But still, I mean, certainly, I think that the way they have responded to Dallas, the outcomes may end up being different because of that in terms of what Trotz does.
Joe, have yourself a wonderful time at the Combine today. You've got Rand Carthon, Brian Callahan coming up that you're going to be a part of from the media press conference point of view. So we'll look forward to your updates tomorrow on the program, and keep Kaharski in bay over there.
Yeah, thanks. I got his stupid tripod here. I hope he takes some awesome videos. What's wrong with you? Do you just love yourself? Dingin texts me and says, I'm sounding too much like Adam Sandler on Billy Madison, so I'll work on that. And Keezer, since you were late today, you now have to fill in for me and
that's fine.
Make a lot of bad jokes and terrible voices and sound like
that's
you're
fine.
Talking in a toilet.
Yeah, okay? Just don't get more stains on your shirt, okay, Joe? Ooh. On the one dress shirt that you have.
Oh, boy.
Ooh, drop the mic, Keezer. You're going to pay for that one, buddy.
Wow. Well, I guess you
See
are
you,
at
Joe.
Lunch, but okay, bye.
Jeez. Coming off the top rope. Nick, your thoughts on this game tonight for the Predators.
Oh, my goodness.
As they take on the Ottawa Senators, going for win number six in a row. And, you know, there are a lot of things they did well on the road trip. Can they keep it going tonight? And this is a team that – this is a team they need to beat tonight.
Yeah, it is. I mean, look, Ottawa, we've watched them play this season, at least I have, and they've struggled mightily. I mean, look, this is a team that was just in D.C. the night before and got their goalie chased, I think, in the first period last night. So not even sure how they're going to look this evening. They could look completely just disheveled, I guess. But I don't know. I mean, look, the Preds, they have to look more matured. We talked about this yesterday. Ultimately, Robbie, today is you have to put a stamp on what this team is now. And I think Andrew Brunette kind of talked about that a little bit after the game when they won in Anaheim. He also talked about it the night before in San Jose. This is a team that they've got to build off of their recent success. I'm not really that encouraged by the power play necessarily. I wonder if they change that up a little bit. The lineup, I am happy that it has not changed. I'm curious if he has a different approach to that now. I don't think they'll fill out the roster with a call-up. They're at 22 of 23 guys right now. So, Robbie, I think it just comes down to, you know, Barry Trotz's philosophy was, let's see how the guys do, and I think that's really all you have left now.
Well, and, you know, they've played – I mean, you outscored opponents 22 to 10
right.
on the road trip. So when you're playing that well, I think you do yourself well to kind of leave things alone, let the chemistry continue to build with the lines that you've put together. And the hope is that that pays off for guys being more consistently productive down the stretch here. Like, you know, Kiefer Sherwood scoring a couple goals against San Jose. I mean, that was the first time he'd scored since like mid-November. So
yeah, exactly.
Getting the puck in the back of the net a little bit more often from those guys. I tell you one guy that I was really encouraged by on the road trip. I thought Luke Evangelista played great.
Yeah, he did.
I thought, you know, obviously a couple of big goals offensively, but I thought even away from the puck, he did some things that were really nice to see. And I think things that they've been working with him on, you know, defensively, but also just hockey sense, right? Of being in the right place at the right time, making the right decisions. Sometimes that right decision is to just dump it and live to fight another day. And I think he's coming along that way. So I thought it was a great road trip for him. You know, Novak playing the way he is right now, seeing the puck go in for him is good. And then Cody Glass, I think, continues to play better and is finding his game. So you got some guys that seem to be ascending here at the right time. It's an 82-game NHL grind of a season. So can these young guys keep it going? Are they going to hit a wall at some point? That's still, I think, a big question. But some of the younger guys that have been in the lineup who at times have struggled this year, I think found themselves a little bit on the road trip. And if that continues to happen down the kind of the second part of this stretch here and into the playoffs, then I think there's some excitement that starts to build, because you get some of these guys, if they're able to pull this off and get there, that are number one, playing really meaningful games down the stretch, and number two, kind of learning what it takes to win and to play at that level, which I think is the goal for Barry Trotz, surrounding them with the veterans that they have.
Yeah, it absolutely is. And think about this, too. A lot of these guys they got some of this experience last season. Did they mean as much as they do now? Probably not, but it's pretty close. I mean, Evangelista got called up. It was a little bit over a year ago now, and then Tommy Novak spent more time with the team as well. Now, you don't have a guy like Yusso Parsons in here, but younger guys in general, they understand what these games mean. Now it's what you do with them. And you know what, too, just to be really small on this note, Kevin Lankinen, I'm really just encouraged by as well. I don't know how many more games they give him down the stretch. It's probably going to be a lot more of UC Soros, obviously. Yep. But I am happy that Kevin got his due. He played. He looked phenomenal and some big saves, big ones late on as well. And that's huge. If you have a well-rounded goalie repertoire, then that's something that you can lean on the rest of the season. And so how strong can both of them be down the stretch? But more importantly, you're 14 and 15 at home. And so moving forward, you've got about, I think it's 8 divisional opponents the rest of the way. So how do you handle those games? We will have to see.
Well, and UC Soros, you know, this is typically the time of the year where he's been pretty difficult to beat. And looking at their schedule, I mean, they don't have a back-to-back the entire month of March.
Yeah.
So you've got – I mean, there's an opportunity. Actually, I take that back. They have one back-to-back in March coming up on the 9th and the 10th. So there's an opportunity, if you wanted to do it, for UC Soros to play in every one of these games of the homestand. Will they do that? I don't know. But with the way the games are spaced out kind of every other day – and then you've got a 2-day break in between Saturday and Tuesday with Montreal coming in. Soros could play all of them if you wanted him to before the deadline. You know, some of that probably depends on how well he's playing, but that's an opportunity for him to kind of take off a little bit here if he can continue playing as well as he has over the road trip. 615-737-1025, our phone number. Your final thoughts on the Preds as they go for win number 6 in a row tonight. The NFL Combine underway today. Rand Carthon, Brian Callahan addressing the media later this morning. Rand Carthon will be on with Chase and Big Joe. Brian Callahan will join Caroline, Willie, and Dime. So make sure you're tuned in for all that. We'll take your thoughts on all of it. Robbie and Rex Road, 1025-1063, the game. Welcome back in. Final segment of the day. Robbie and Rex Road, 1025-1063, the game. Broadcasting live from our Spring Hill Heating and Cooling Game Nashville studios. Keeping your home feeling comfortable all year round. Robbie Stanley, Nick Keyser here with you on this Tuesday morning. Some NFL news to pass along. We went over the running back part of this earlier, so doesn't look like Saquon Barkley or Austin Eckler or Derrick Henry or Tony Pollard are going to be franchise tagged by their team, so that could create a very crowded running back market this offseason. You can throw Josh Jacobs in there from the Raiders as well. Lots of really good, proven running backs that could be out there and available if they're not able to come to either longer-term deals or a one-year deal for a cheaper price with their team. So could be a very crowded running back room in free agency this offseason. In other news, Shaq Barrett of the Tampa Bay Bucks was released today. So 2-time Pro Bowler Shaq Barrett was a big part of Tampa's Super Bowl team a few years ago. Signed the big deal with Tampa. He had 19 and a half sacks in 2019, had 10 sacks in 2021. And in the last couple of years, he only played 8 games in 2022, had 3 sacks. And then this past season, only played played 16 games, only had 4.5 sacks. So Tampa Bay moving on from him. He's going to be a free agent. You know, I think the Titans could use another edge rusher. I don't know that Shaq Barrett would be the way I would go at this stage of his career at age 31, coming off 2 pretty disappointing seasons. Maybe you could get him pretty cheap and take a flyer on him at that point, but Shaq Barrett now out there and available in the edge rusher market as well. So we'll see what comes of that. NFL Combine today, Rand Carthon and Brian Callahan will be speaking both of them in the next hour. I think Rand Carthon's at 9:15. Brian Callahan is at 9:45. Carthon will join Chase and Big Joe this morning, and Brian Callahan with Caroline, Willie, and D-Mace at 11 o'clock. So looking forward to that. We talked about it earlier. If you're a Titans fan watching the Combine today, a couple guys at the quarterback position that are really intriguing that I think you're rooting for to do well. Like J.J. McCarthy, I think, needs to test really well today or whenever he throws. At the Combine, Michael Penix, although it's looking more and more like he could have kind of a second round grade on him. McCarthy, if you could get one of them to move up and one of them to shoot up, like we see quarterbacks do at times, it could really help you out at number 7 overall. If you could get a fourth quarterback kind of into that mix with Williams, with Drake May, and with Jaden Daniels, that's only going to help you in terms of your trade options, number 1, and number 2, Nick, players that could be available for you at number 7 that you've got the opportunity to pick from.
Yeah, you have this – look, it's all about stirring the pot this time of the year, right? I mean, you're trying to test, you're trying to show everybody what you got, and ultimately I think for the Titans, they're just going to go in there with – all of the brass that they possibly can to you know, say, hey, we like this guy, this guy, this guy. And that's all that teams do this time of the year. It's a lot of fill time for going into the draft, obviously, because you're up there in Indy. But look, I think I'm interested to see what Rand has to say. You know, what's their approach for what they're looking for? I mean, last offseason, he got his soft start with the Titans, and it wasn't impressive by any means because we can look at that body of work now and see how that transpired. But I think for Brian Callahan, what does he want from some of these players? You know, what is he looking for as well? And yes, you do want McCarthy to test well. You want some of these quarterbacks to test well. You want these, you know, high teams in the draft to go, we might consider moving for a quarterback, you know. But I think that's where it gets interesting is do the Titans stand pat with where they are? Are guys testing well enough in their mind where they don't have to move? That's the biggest question mark for me. And also, I wonder how much interest they have in Joe Alt. You know, where would he go at this point? You know, there's a lot of talk about where he might fall as well. Would 7 be high enough to go get him? And, you know, freaking TD's like, I'll stay on top of this table. They would get him right now. I will die on this table right now. And look, TD was emphatic about it. I think I would be as well. He's a 15-year guy that you would plug right in. So, Robbie, I'm very intrigued to see how the Titans answer some of these questions this morning, and we will have to react to that all tomorrow morning.
Yeah, the beginning of the underwear Olympics today. People out there doing drills and throwing footballs and running and doing shuttle times and all this stuff. I said it yesterday. It's amazing how the NFL just captures the sporting calendar and just dominates it the way that they do. And there will be people like actually tuning in and watching people run drills today on the combine, which is just amazing to me. But that's the world we live in. People love their football.
Yeah. So Jared's all excited. I was listening to some yesterday. Yeah. He's like, man, I'm waiting for Friday because I think that's when they're running. And I'm like, you have at it, Jared. That'll be a lot of fun for yourself, sir.
We'll keep you covered on that front all day long here on 102.5, 106.3 The Game. Again, the Preds back in action tonight at Bridgestone Arena going for win number 6 in a row. We'll be back tomorrow to cover all of it. Paul Kuharsky will be with us tomorrow live from Indianapolis as well. So Rex Road and PK both live from Indy on the show tomorrow. We'll get into everything Rand Carthon and Brian Callahan had to say, as well as some of their other observations from the NFL Combine. And, of course, our thoughts on the Preds and the Senators coming up tonight at Bridgestone Arena. That's starting at 6 a.m. tomorrow. Chase and Big Joe coming up next. You're listening to 102.5, 106.3 The Game.